This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
RJ, get married again.
Ideally not.
Renew your vows.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You want to do another bachelor party?
Yes. I wasn't at your original bachelor party.
You were invited. You declined.
It was away, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Orleans.
I mean, mine was in New York City. Went to the Mets game in the afternoon. We went out to a nice dinner. Then there was a hotel room and some stuff happened there.
Oh, what kind of stuff?
Strippers. You know, that kind of stuff.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Those are my ladies.
On 98.7 ESPN. Shuffling.
All right, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. RJ, you happy with what you've done now? You put this audio on the screen. We teased it. We played it. Now you got Rick all in a frenzy here.
Kind of diabolical.
Yeah, very, very
diabolical. Listen, it's fine to have the opinion that you don't think the Jets are going to be, you know, good enough to win the AFC East or good enough to make the playoffs. But to have a list that says they have no shot before the season even starts and they're one of the top five teams? Come on.
That's a hell of a proclamation.
Well, that couldn't be more off base. I mean, if you said right now, give five teams that are done, I wouldn't even put the Jets in that conversation.
But that's clearly what when you have the opinion that something is going to happen that is going to just derail everything. You think it's inevitable.
But Aaron Rodgers has never derailed a football team with his anything. He's never derailed a football team. Even if they didn't like him in Green Bay, they were there every single year.
But his teammates
year.
Liked him, though.
His teammates
it
liked him.
It doesn't matter if the front office doesn't
like
him.
I agree with you.
Like, he's got the
Brian
one thing.
Gutekunst doesn't like him. Who cares?
The one thing that derailed his time in Green Bay was what he's been given in New York, which is actual, you know, say is what happens. Like, feeling like he's got, like, some kind of ownership of what's going on.
Now, which I don't like.
I know you don't like, but that was one of the reasons why he's here.
Well, I understand that.
Because you already had a problem. Like, this is, you can have the opinion that you don't think the Jets are going to be very good. I'm fine with that. That's your opinion. Fine. But to say that he's going to be the cancer that rips the team apart, this was not a well-run, successful franchise before he got here. And then they brought him here, and because he's a cancer, it metastasized throughout the organization and brought it down.
But I also can't sit here. I mean, there's no way I would ever put the Jets on a list where I say right now their season is done.
No.
I think that's irresponsible.
I get it. But if you wanted people to talk about your list and you were of the opinion you don't think the Jets are going to win, why not put it on the list so people talk about it? Because you look like a hero if they don't. And no one's going to talk about it if they do.
Well, I think what we need to do more is when people have takes like this and they're not right, recycle them and bring them back.
Right, but it's the biggest problem with this industry right now is you can just go say what you want and you can be wrong and no one talks about it. Like Dan Orlovsky, I love him, but he says some of the most wild, craziest stuff you ever heard in your life and no one holds him accountable. What do you think about
Raymond
Justin?
Does.
Like, what do you think about Justin Fields this year? He's going to play at an MVP level.
Right.
That was the beginning of last year.
Well, that's bad.
Come on, man.
That's bad. Nick Chusano emails in. I absolutely love it when Rick gets this hot about a topic. He's got me ready to run through a wall in my cubicle right now. I love his passion. I love him. That's nice.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's just, I have a hard time believing that a person as smart as Chris looks at the Jets and looks at the rest of the NFL and thinks, I should put them on a list of five teams that have zero chance before the season even starts.
Well, let's go to Mark in the car. Say good morning, Mark. You're on 98.7.
Good morning.
What's going on, Mark?
Good morning.
Nothing much. So I've been a listener for a good while, and I remember when Canty first started on the radio with Han and Humpty, and he said the Jets called him to sign him before he retired. And he said he'd rather retire than join the Jets. I think he just doesn't like the Jets.
Right, but which kind of speaks to my point already, doesn't it? Like, in his mind,
exactly.
The Jets were already an awful organization. So how is Aaron Rodgers the one that's responsible for that? He's not. The fact that they're an awful, awful organization that has no idea how to get out of their own way was the reason why you brought
Aaron
Rodgers
in. But I think that's fair. I think if you say the Jets are an organization that continues to put their foot in their mouth, you know what? I think that they have the longest streak of not making the postseason in all of professional sports. Like, that's an embarrassing number.
Well,
but
what if you view Aaron Rodgers as like the force multiplier for the dysfunction that the organization has had for the past decade plus?
What does that even mean?
Just because of the extra stuff that comes with Aaron Rodgers.
But how is he going to multiply that, though? Or for Mike Maccagnan? I don't understand.
Right, like, whatever he does off the field that you would you say to yourself is a distraction to the team is not how the locker room feels about him. Like, there are plenty of things to point to that could lead to the like this season derailing. Aaron Rodgers being a cancer on this team in that locker room is not one of the things I would point to. Maybe it wouldn't. It would be the health of Tyron Smith. The health, like, Morgan Moses just had pec surgery. Like, I don't know when he's going to be back to being 100%. Mike Williams is coming back from ACL.
And they said he's not going to be healthy to start
the
season,
probably. Right, so there are a lot of things. Aaron's coming off an Achilles.
If you want to say that I think that Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old and two major injuries will not be the same quarterback, fine. I buy into that.
All right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But like, the drop-off in production. Okay, yeah, he had a season where he threw 26-12, almost 3,700 yards. Is that Aaron Rodgers? Like, no, but he was also dealing with a broken thumb coming off of back-to-back MVP seasons. And I'm telling you, with this defense, give me 3,700 yards. Give me the bad season. And I like my chances with this defense.
Let's go to Danny at Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. Rick, I'm glad you're on this stance because this got me fired up, man. I think that is the most ludicrous assessment of Aaron Rodgers that he could even come across. I respect Canty, and I really do. That is absolutely, the guy's a cancer. The guy's been nothing but a model citizen since the day he got here. He ruptures an Achilles. He still stayed with the team, just like you said, Rick. Give me the negative season, and we're a playoff team last year. We won 7 games with a mess that we were. So anybody who thinks that this guy is not going to step in and make us a playoff team, I think we should have our chest pumped out. I do think that we should be the team to beat in the division. I'm not worried about the Bills. Yes, are they the team to beat? Yeah, they are, but they don't beat us, okay? I'm not afraid of them. And this team that he just put together, you just said it perfectly, Dave. It's about health, okay? If they stay healthy, just like any other NFL team, if they can't get injured, they have to stay healthy. But that assessment from Canty is a joke. The guy's a cancer. That is ridiculous. I don't know what his problem is with that statement, but it fired me up, and I'm glad you're taking this stance, Rick, because that's ridiculous. Yes, do we have some hills to climb? We certainly do. Health is the most important thing. But if we're healthy, we will contend with anybody in the AFC.
Well, here's my other problem, Danny. We're reacting to what we saw last year. Was the defense really good last year?
Yes.
Okay, we had Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian as our quarterbacks. Those were our three quarterbacks. We had 11 passing touchdowns.
That was pathetic.
11!
Watching the Jets offense last year felt like it was setting the game of football back.
And Aaron was responsible for that. Or was it the fact that Aaron wasn't playing?
That's the reason.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you want to define fluke. 4 plays in, popping his Achilles. I would define that as a fluke. Come on, man. Doesn't have a chance before the season starts. The only reason he was here is because Zach Wilson was such a disaster.
To save it.
Aaron Rodgers didn't trap Zach Wilson.
Aaron Rodgers has been here for four plays, for 10 minutes. The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years. You could sit here and go through all of the awful picks and the guys that didn't, and Mekhi Becton and Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and, I mean, Mike Maccagnan, and you could go up and down on the
Adam
list
Gase.
That you choose. And, I mean, all of these guys. Aaron Rodgers would be the last guy that I would look at and say is the reason for the Jets' dysfunction. The last guy that I would look at for that. Danny in Long Island. Danny, what's up, buddy?
You know, I was going to call about something else, but this is absurd. Aaron Rodgers has played to a 650 winning percentage his entire life. He is who he is. He hasn't changed his personality, his comments. He has been nothing but a winning quarterback. And the comments are not only totally bizarre and hateful. Because to call somebody a cancer is not saying you're washed up. That's worse than washed up. That's like a malignant, you know, that's the worst. I mean, what else could you say worse than that? So clearly, Canty is emotionally involved or doesn't like his politics because whenever you bring your feelings into a situation, you're liable to screw it up. And I think it's just bizarre that this man gets the level of grief that he has. He played one play for the Jets before. There's no sense that he was all in. I'm a Steelers fan. He was all in. He was on the sideline trying to help Wilson. He did everything he could do. There's no that came out of nowhere but a dark place. So it's got to be his personal feelings, and it got the best of him. As far as Diggs is concerned, you know, how many of these wide receivers get so on top of their skis that they think it's all about them, and they none of them seem to ever win a championship. A lot of we just watched
a team win a championship without not just no one number one wide receiver. I couldn't even tell you who the three or four wide receivers on the Chiefs were. So as long as you have your quarterback, you'll be fine. Guys will get open. You'll find people. The way the NFL is designed now, my grandmother could run it down.
Well, hang on, Danny, with this as well. Firstly, Mahomes is better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Secondly, who's the Travis Kelce on Buffalo? I like their tight ends too, but it's not Travis Kelce.
No, they don't have Travis Kelce.
Right.
And they don't have Andy Reid either.
Right. So I would just, I don't know, man. I think, listen,
here's the thing. I don't necessarily agree with Danny, but I don't disagree with Danny. I think that a quarterback...
Quarterback makes the receivers better, yes.
Right. I think the offense, quarterback, all that stuff. I think really good quarterbacks can make pretty good receivers really good. I look at Houston. I mean, we used that as an example already. I mean, you look at what Nico Collins and Tank Dell turned themselves into because of how good C.J. Stroud was. Yeah, that's possible. I think the disconnect between Steph Diggs and the point Danny was trying to make was Josh Allen wasn't very good until Steph Diggs got there.
And he's right.
So I think Steph Diggs probably takes a lot of credit. I even saw a tweet from Steph Diggs.
But what year did Steph Diggs go to Buffalo with Josh Allen? What year was that for Josh Allen?
That was year 3.
All right. So, but maybe Josh Allen would have taken that step regardless of it being Steph Diggs, right? Like, typically year 3, you do... Like, you knew Josh Allen was good, but he really turned that corner.
No, I don't know if you knew that Josh Allen was going to be that good.
Well, that good, of course. But Josh Allen, you knew, was going to be a good quarterback.
Yeah, I think there was a thought that he was going to be a good quarterback. I mean, but the second or third best quarterback in the NFL, like the quarterback just below.
But now he's at that level, right? He's at that top level of NFL quarterbacks. I think you'd argue it's Mahomes and then him.
Okay, so year one, rookie year, 53% of his passes, 2,000 yards. He played in 12 games, 10 touchdowns, 12 picks. All 16 games, second year. Less than 60% of his passes, 3,000 yards, 20 TDs, 9 interceptions.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a decent season. That's a decent season.
Okay. Steph Diggs shows up. Almost 70% of his passes, 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns,
right.
10 interceptions.
Right. But now he's that guy.
He's established himself. But what I'm saying, though, is in Steph Diggs' mind, because I even saw a tweet from him, and this is the reason why I'm saying it, is someone made the point that Danny just made. It's not the wide receiver, it's the quarterback. And Steph Diggs say, you sure?
I saw that tweet.
Right.
Maybe it was at the beginning of year 3. I think that Josh Allen is the quarterback now that he's now grown beyond needing to have Steph Diggs
but
as
if
his
you're
primary
Steph Diggs,
receiver.
And all of a sudden now you feel it slipping away because Josh has turned himself into what he is.
Right.
Offense is going in a different direction. We like the two tight ends. We like this. We like that. And I'm not getting the ball like I used to. It's kind of like the, hey, don't forget how you became who you are.
So you read his stats, right? He has more catches than anybody over the last 4 years. All right, so this year's postseason, 2 games, 10 catches for a combined 73 yards.
Right. No, you could see it coming. I mean, as the season, towards the end of the season, you could see it coming.
Yes, you
certainly
could.
He was not the focal point of that offense anymore.
Let's go to Alvin in Secaucus. Hi, Alvin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. But this is a message for ESPN, all right? They have to stop allowing people just to say things on TV or whatever it is, just to say it, just to bait people. It's corny to me already.
Because that's an ESPN-only problem, right? That doesn't happen
under
every rock you look
under. No, it's not. But ESPN is one of the biggest, right, sports entertainment networks, correct? So it has to start from the top to say, listen, we cannot have these people just to say, hey, just come up with whatever they want to say and just say it. I don't even know what to say anymore, because how are you going to say something like that? Being a professional, knowing football, Chris Canty's a smart guy. He knows football.
He is a smart guy.
So, yeah, but here's the problem, Alvin. Here's the problem, though. What can ESPN say? What could Fox say?
You can't say somebody can't say something.
But what's his opinion? I mean, it's an opinion that he has. Now, the only way to curb people from just saying things just so people talk about it or baiting people into a conversation is that there has to be repercussions after you. Like, you have to be held accountable for having an awful take. It doesn't just die.
I try not to have them. I've had awful takes. We have awful takes.
No, I know, but you announce yours as, this is a hot take. I don't, like, it's not like I have a book of Dave's rational takes.
Right.
You have a hot take.
Right.
And you know going in, sometimes it's like, it might sound crazy. It may hit. It
like
may
I
not.
Said, Paris Campbell's going to have 1,000 yards receiving.
Right.
You, in retrospect, it's awful. One of the stupidest takes anybody could ever have had. Right.
Yeah. And I bust your chops about it.
Right.
But now, like, we're at a point now where you say something crazy so people talk about it. And if you're wrong, no one ever talks about it again.
Correct.
And you look like a hero if you're right.
Right. So if Aaron Rodgers goes 4-13 this year and the locker room is dysfunctional and falls apart, Chris Canty will be a hero.
But if it doesn't, and if they win the division,
I think Aaron Rodgers is a hero.
Well,
hold them accountable then. Then call back in eight months and say, listen, remember when Chris said this and we're 7-0 right now?
I just can't do it. Like, I can't.
I don't
like,
do it either.
I can't even go through my Major League Baseball picks and just randomly pick, like, you know, I thought
the. We couldn't even put the Mets in the postseason.
Right, but I'm like, you know, maybe like I could see a couple teams having, you know, pretty decent seasons. I don't think they're playoff teams, but you know, why not take a shot? Like, oh, how about the Pirates? I'll have them win the division. No, because I don't want to look like an idiot, because I don't want it to be wrong.
Right.
I can't talk myself into doing something that I don't truly believe
in. I agree. I think that's kind of the allure of the show for a lot of people. Corey and Edison. Hi, Corey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So there's a difference to me between a hot take and a personal take, and I think that's where, you know, we're kind of in with this. He clearly has something against Rodgers, and to me, you know, if they have some kind of beef, that's one thing. To me, it's more disrespectful to the other 20 guys that play offense and defense because, you know, the Jets had a top five defense last year, right? And they and arguably got better. So to say out of hand that a team that has a top five defense is done before the season even started is just disrespectful to the squad. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Well, I don't even think it's disrespectful to the squad. I think it's a ridiculous opinion or hot take or however you want to analyze it. It just doesn't make sense. If I said to you, anybody listening, before you learn that Canty had the Jets as one of their teams that are done before the season starts, if I walked up to a decent NFL fan and said, give me the five teams that are done, if I asked 100 people, I would almost say none of them would have the Jets on the list. None of them.
And we wouldn't be talking about those lists.
None of them.
No. It'd be like if you had a mock draft now that came out.
Right. And mock draft comes out and I say, you know who's going to go one? Michael Penix.
No, or it's like, but Tannenbaum's starting to do the same stuff. Because he's learned the business. Like, oh, now you get it. Like, you got to say crazy stuff.
Well, I don't like it.
Like, you have Mel, whose job is to, like, he just gives you what he thinks.
Correct.
Like, he spends all this time. He's off the you know, pumpkin pie now because he's got to focus on what's going on. So he's like, listen, fellas, I'm telling you right now, these three receivers I have as, you know, three of the best five players in the entire draft. And then, okay, people... I have a hard time disagreeing with you. I've seen the tape. Everything looks good. And then you'll have someone come on. Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to go ninth. What?
Right.
Or if, like, then now all of a sudden you had, like, J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams, no. Chicago's taking J.J. McCarthy.
That's crazy.
But you talk about it.
That's crazy.
If you just have Caleb Williams as your number one pick, okay, well, that's what everyone else
has. I've seen some people that think if the quarterbacks go 1-4, there's a chance Marvin Harrison could fall to the Giants at 6.
Well, I think depending on... Well, you're going to get him, him or Neighbors.
Right.
I wouldn't be upset if you had Neighbors.
No,
if I
was he's you. A stud too.
Stud.
And so is Adunze. The Giants are gonna land a stud at 6. It just depends who it's gonna be.
Yeah, well, you'll still be disappointed if you don't get the quarterback.
Very, very much so. RJ.
Yes, Dave.
You see what you've done with this whole audio you had us play?
It was not my intent.
Yeah, of course
it was absolutely your intent. Otherwise, you would have put it on the screen.
Yeah,
you know how I was gonna react to it.
If Canty said he thinks the Jets are gonna go 10-7, it wouldn't have been on my screen to play.
Absolutely not.
Right. So stop it. It's not your intent.
Well, it was not my intent to cause this much frustration.
That I believe.
It was my intent to garner content. Yes, if I'm being truthful.
We were interested in hearing Rick's reaction. I didn't think
maybe you know what it is. Far. Maybe I'm jealous. Maybe there's a little jealousy in there too that I can't bring myself to say crazy enough stuff.
Oh, you say crazy stuff?
No, I say crazy stuff. I don't say
yeah,
like
it's a different
crazy,
kind of crazy,
right? But I can't that crazy stuff ain't put me is no one else is talking about
yeah,
it.
We're gonna have them on Sports Center to discuss flatulence tonight.
We all can't be great at everything.
Greedy didn't call me. Hey, I need you on Get Up to talk about like some of your innuendos.
That's right.
Maybe he should.
I went on national television in a suit with Daisy Duke suit pants on for him.
That's nice.
You did.
They actually ripped my skit off on The Tonight Show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's nice. RJ. RJ.
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
Look at that offense.
That's nice.
Look at it. Look at Houston's offense right now.
Yeah. No, I know. Stroud, Mixon, Diggs, Collins, Dell, Schultz. We talked about it. It's terrifying.
Oh.
And Anderson is only going to get better. And Danielle Hunter's a stud. And
they got a great coach.
What's the corner from LSU is really good.
Stingley.
Yeah. And the head coach is terrific. It's terrifying. RJ.
I'm still here.
RJ.
Still here.
How you doing?
Present.
Good. Are you ready? Now we've eaten into a lot of your stuff. You missed time.
That's okay. This is good stuff.
Oh, I'm glad you're so happy. Go ahead.
Now.
See ya.
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The sh** you missed.
Very combative.
Dean Ann just texted me. Houston won't make the playoffs. He's such a bad guy.
They've got no chance.
Oh, very combative. What was also combative was the start of the Rangers-Devils game. Started with 10 guys just pounding each other in the face. 8 of them tossed out of the game.
Good thing you said face.
That's right. And to clarify, game misconducts for 8 of them. Rangers going to win the game. Important game for the Rangers. They win 4-3.
Rick DiPietro on at 6:01 tonight. Yes. Guess what? Sexual innuendos leading SportsCenter. Yes.
I think that could do a number.
I think it'd be great.
It would be.
I'd kill on McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You should be his hockey guy on McAfee.
Imagine 100. If I could spread my wings like that.
Oh, that'd be... Oh. No, you'd end up like the owl.
Eating poisoned rat.
Crashing into buildings. He flew directly into the Thunderdome and killed himself.
You can't have that kind of power.
But that's the way you want to go.
Yeah, right. I'd go like that.
Because they would give you all the leash you wanted.
Yes.
And it would
hang himself with all that leash.
Rangers extend their lead on the Bruins to the top spot in the East. Back up to 3 points. 6 games to play. Austin Matthews scores his 63rd goal of the season.
My God.
But the Leafs lose, so too bad for Canada.
It is so important, though, to get that number one seed.
In the East.
Yeah, you don't want to play. You don't want to play Tampa.
No.
No, no, no.
Because Tampa could beat anybody they play.
Right.
In their first series, especially.
Yeah, I mean, you got one of the best players in the NHL, one of the best goalies in the NHL. Yep. I love Braden Point's, one of my favorite players in the NHL.
I want any part of them. I was getting, honestly, very upset when the Rangers were trailing 3-2 last night. Very upset.
I think what the Rangers did last night was very important for them. I do. I think that's going to bring... Do you want to talk about bringing the team
together? So, now, mind you, will be a big Rangers fan on Friday night.
Yes.
Huge.
That's right. I've been a big Buffalo fan recently.
Yep.
Be a big Rangers
big
fan.
Big Rangers fan tomorrow night. They play in Detroit.
In Detroit. In New York, they will try to play baseball today. Mets rained out second straight day. They're going to play a single admission doubleheader. Starts at 12:10, less than 3 hours. Sounds like it's Adrian Hauser for game one and perhaps Jose Buto for game two.
I think it is going to be Buto.
It
for
is
game
Buto,
two, yeah.
Mets also agreed to a contract with Julio Teheran.
I got a hot take.
Julio Te.
I got a hot take.
Julio Te.
Julio Te.
I like Julio Te.
I got a hot take.
They agreed to a deal with Julio Te.
Am I speaking into a dead microphone? I have a hot take.
No one cares.
All right, forget it. I'm done.
What do you got?
I just pull out the book. Wait a second.
Well, I got to formulate it exactly how I'd like.
Well, the Julio Te deal is $2.5 million.
I got it.
Yeah.
Jose Buto will give the Mets 6-plus innings of one run or less.
I mean, it's not crazy.
But that's
that's not. I mean, that's not.
Oh,
like,
stop it. That's a hot take.
He had some good outings last year.
That's a good take. It's not a crazy take, but that's a good take.
Yeah, all right.
Hold on. What'd you say?
6 innings of one run ball.
Buto.
Yep.
6 innings,
one run ball.
One run.
Otani homers for the first time as a Dodger. Helps him sweep the Giants.
Homeless?
Homers.
Oh.
Homers.
It could be.
It's a homer.
He's been betting. Yeah. That's a lot of money to not have a place to put your head on a pillow.
Dodgers beat the Giants 5-4. They sweep the Giants. A's, in all seriousness, Dave, sound like they're close to making Sacramento their interim home. So it sounds like they had a real meeting yesterday. And it went well. But Vegas is 2028. Sounds like that's where the landing time is.
Got a text from someone high up at ESPN. I told John months ago, Rick should be Pat's hockey guy. Nothing has been done.
I don't know who that's a shot at.
It's terrible.
It's just a shot.
At all
it's
of
a
us.
Shot.
At everyone.
At everyone.
At everyone.
Caleb Williams had a visit with the Bears, expected to be the top overall pick. Rashid Rice, cooperating with Dallas police, apologizes for his involvement.
Did you say he took ownership in the whole thing? That's great.
Yeah. He did.
That's great.
I'm not even joking with you. Nothing makes me more angry than the people that drive
that fast.
There's no room. Like, someone's going to die.
I had a guy the other
you're
day.
You're going to kill somebody.
I was going like 70. He drove past me like I was standing still. He passes me in the right lane. I didn't even know he was coming. It made that noise, like your car shakes a little bit.
Yeah.
He's He must have been going 95 miles an hour with cars all over the road.
Most people, and it's not like a you people or that, we can't handle that kind of speed. Don't go that fast.
No, it scares the hell out of people too.
Yeah, we can't handle that. We should not be going that fast. Go to the Autobahn. Go somewhere. You could do it.
I was on the Autobahn.
How is it?
It's awesome.
I would do
How
it.
How fast did you go?
Fast.
Over 100?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, the fastest I've ever gone is 180.
180?
182 miles
an hour. How do you control the car that fast?
I was just straight.
But like,
scary.
Were you terrified?
Yeah. Well, it's probably a different kind of car. Probably low to the ground.
It was a Lamborghini.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now we're talking.
But still.
Well, those are.
Were you driving alone?
You should have seen Cassie's dad. No, I had Cassie's dad, and I think that's probably why I was driving so fast. He was white knuckle.
Of course.
It was so funny.
On the Autobahn, was
no,
it?
No, no. When I got out, I was like, yeah, that was probably too fast. He's like, you think?
Was he terrified?
Terrified.
What happens if he just passes out? Like the G-forces get to him and he can't handle it.
G-forces? His face
is real. Right. The drool is coming out of his mouth.
Like he's all sucked back into his seat.
Like it's Top Gun. Yes. The G-forces. He's going 180 miles an hour, not like 700.
That's fair. And he's not a young man.
It's time to bust the tower.
Sounds like Joe Judge has a new job on the Ole Miss staff as a senior analyst. I don't know what that means. Celtics clinch the NBA's best record. They beat down the Thunder. 135-100. Boston will have home court advantage throughout. 60th win of the season last night. They're 16-16. Malachi Flynn, you remember him? He was a Knick for like
sure.
A half hour. Dropped 50 off the bench for the Pistons. 50.
That's 50 points.
Juliette.
You know what? That's a good name, Juliette. I tell you, Juliette's pitching, that piques your interest.
Hell yeah.
Franchise record for bench player for the Pistons, who, of course, lost in that game to the Hawks, who clinched a playoff berth, at least in the play-in tournament, did Atlanta. Detroit lost their 10th of their last 11. Zion injured his middle finger of his shooting hand last night as Orlando beats the Pels. Steve Clifford done as Hornets head coach. Jerry West goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame for a third time. First, as a player. Second, as a member of the 1960 U.S. Olympic team. Third, as a contributor to the game.
Remember I was talking about the Showtime show, about the Lakers? So yep. He's prominent in that. He was the GM of the Lakers during that era. He is portrayed
to be the biggest bleep
you could possibly imagine.
Being in the Hall of Fame for three different reasons, though?
It's amazing.
That's a lot.
I can't even get in the Italian-American one.
Right.
We got to get you
And that's not nearly as prestigious as the Basketball Hall of Fame. Right.
Fix this.
UConn men had trouble getting to the Final Four because of plane issues. Landed at 3:15 local time in Phoenix. LSU's Angel Reese headed to the WNBA draft. Louisiana, the first state to ban prop betting on college games, which I think is actually going to become a theme. You're going to see that a lot, I think. And some Masters news before 1 week where they tee it up. Justin Thomas splits with his caddy after 2 years of working
Bones
together.
Done.
Yeah, all done.
Bones Jones?
That's right.
No, not Bones Jones. Bones McKay.
And that's the stuff you
What knows. Did I say to him? Hey, Bones? Or hey, Jones?
Hey, Jones.
Hey, Jones.
Hey, Jones.
All right, Jones. I was excited. I was excited for that interview.
Obviously. All right, Jones.
That interview's kind of a big deal.
He was good. I enjoyed talking to him, but I didn't anticipate you being like, all right, Jones.
All right, Jones.
All right, Jones. What did you mean to say? All right, John?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
John Bones Jones from Rochester.
All right, Jones.
That's right. All right, Jones.
All right, Jones. All right, Jones. He didn't react off of that, did he?
No, I don't think
so. All right, Jones. He gets like, sweetheart, guess what? I got off the phone. The guy's in New York. Guy said, all right, Jones.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
John's Bones Jones.
All right, stop playing the John's Bones Jones. Why'd I say it so, like, deliberately?
All right,
Jones.
I have no idea.
Probably because I threw you off by saying, all right, Jones.
Yeah. Which happened first, RJ, where I called him John's Bones Jones, or he said
John's Bones.
I said John's Bones?
John's Bones.
Well, let me hear that again. Not the music. John's Bones Jones.
Say John's Bones Jones.
John's Bones Jones. Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is Ian Begley. I like him.
I love him.
I like him personally. I like him professionally.
Let's call him. Let's have him on the show.
That would be up to you if you want to give him a cold call. Anyhow, Ian Begley has a podcast known as The Putback. I think there's a video element to it as
there
well.
Is.
And he said, and he doesn't make stuff up, so he must have heard this. He said, some people think that Randall should have had the surgery right when this injury happened.
I think the medical staff has been very careful here with this one, with actually getting him back on the floor. I do think there were some people who felt, you know, way back that he should have gone and had surgery right when it happened. And then maybe he's back at this point, or he's back a couple weeks from now at the beginning of the postseason. That didn't happen. And here we are with Randall just waiting.
Now, is that realistic to think? I mean, I don't know enough about this injury. But he got injured, what, end of January, I believe? So you look at it, February, March. That's 2 months.
Well, here's the thing, though. We don't know. I don't know what the injury is. But I'm assuming when you dislocate your shoulder, it's probably something with his labrum. And I've had plenty of people I know that have had that surgery. And it is a tough, long rehab with that surgery.
So,
I mean, they got hurt January 27th. You're looking at, I mean, for a full recovery, at least 4 months.
So you're not gonna, you wouldn't have gotten it back?
At least 4 months.
So that's February, March, April, May. So you're not going to be alive in June, most likely, if he's not playing.
No, but I'm giving you 4 months is like...
Well, Ian's not making it up, right? He's hearing it from somewhere.
Which I don't know. So I don't know what was wrong with the inside of his shoulder. We don't know.
So call Ian.
I don't know if he knows.
Well, call him.
Exactly.
Find out. Do a cold call right now. Call him on the air. You got his number, right?
Why don't we call him so we can both talk to him, though?
Well, I could ask a question via you.
Why doesn't the show cold call him?
RJ, Raymond, you guys want to...
You want to cold call him and pull it up on the board?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't you think that's better?
That's something we
can both speak to him?
I would like that. Now, my only concern is that, like, the phone rings, and then he's like, hey, you've reached 917-222.
We'll pull it down before that happens.
I don't know. That's my concern. So you're telling me I should not be concerned about that?
No, he's a professional.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, we get Ian, talk a little Knicks with him, find out about this injury, say hi. I haven't talked to him in quite some time. I like Ian.
I would just like to say hi.
Yeah, well, I would like to cover everything. I'd like to say hi, and then I'd like to get to the bottom of where we are with this. Where are we with making this this cold call to Ian right now, Raymond? Are we making any strides? No, it sounds like
that
we're...
That feels like a stride. We're flashing it.
He hung up?
No, I think the phone hung up.
I don't know if we could put a dialing phone on the air. I think
no,
it has to be
can't.
Either answered or it has to be.
Yeah, I think you should answer it.
Well, you can't put a ring.
No, I don't.
No.
We're going to try.
Why can't you just call him and then put him on?
But that's not a cold call.
Same thing. We're cold calling. He's not expecting
a
call.
No, it's not a cold call.
All right,
call him on your phone.
I'll call him then.
Call him. Hold it up to the mic.
Yep. I know how to do it.
Okay.
I'm not leaving a message.
No. Abort. If the voicemail picks up, you hang up immediately.
It's calling on our end.
It's calling?
Oh, I can hear it.
Right, of course, because they can do it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ray did some magic.
Good job, Ray.
This is clean.
This is real clean.
Okay.
Hello.
Ian Begley, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro, 98.7 ESPN. You're live on the air. Hi, Ian.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yes.
Sneaking up on me.
It worked.
Welcome. You're part of a cold call segment.
Look at this. What an honor.
Yeah. Well, we love you. And I said moments ago, we love you personally and professionally.
Look, the feeling is mutual. That's why I picked up. I thought, look, maybe it's Dave and Rick. Maybe it's a producer who, you know, maybe I shouldn't pick up. But maybe it's Dave and Rick. I'd love to talk to those guys.
All right. Here we are. So we just played some audio that you played on The Putback, which is your wonderful podcast, videocast, where you said there are a lot of people that
Thanks,
seem
sir.
To... What'd you say?
I said, thank you, sir.
Of course. A lot of people seem to think that Randall should have had the surgery at the time of injury. Would you think realistically that that's a common theme around NBA circles? And secondly, would there be a realistic chance that he would be back this season if he did have that surgery?
Well, here's what I know. I know that people like involved in the process thought that surgery was a good idea. Some people. Now, there was a lot of people involved in the process, right? You had doctors, you had Randall, you had Nick doctors, you had the medical staff, you had outside medical people. I mean, Julius said on the record that he heard so many different opinions. One thought was get the surgery. And I think what happened was on social media, I think my guys clipped it when I said he could be back now. And then I corrected myself when I said a couple weeks from now. And the thinking was that 3 months, it's unlikely, right? It's unlikely. There have been some cases where you have the surgery and you could be back around the 3 month mark a little bit earlier. So not to suggest that he'd be back on the court today 100%, but just to suggest that, hey, instead of waiting and trying to get back, let's have the surgery right now and let's do our best to try to get back as soon as we can. Hopefully first round playoffs and then away we go. Obviously they didn't make that decision, right? They decided to rehab it and try for the best. And they're sitting here today, still stuck with no contact for Julius Randle and kind of stuck in limbo, trying to figure this thing out. And as the days tick by, it seems less likely and less likely that you're getting a healthy Julius Randle back. Maybe you get a compromised Julius Randle back, but it just seems less likely that you're getting that Julius Randle that you had before he went down against Miami.
I got to think, though, Ian. So Dave and I were talking about this yesterday. I mean, to go through all that he's gone through to try to make it stable enough where he's not worried about getting dislocated again because he can always do the surgery. I got to think, like, the second he gets cleared for the, hey, full practice contact, that's like he's going to be back soon after that, right? Like this is not, we don't need to see much contact in practice before we bring him back into a game to test this thing out.
You know what? All I know about that is the medical staff has been very conservative on Randall and on Ananobi. So I don't know specifically if it's like one day of contact and let's go, but just based on the nature that they've had here, this conservative nature, both of these guys, I would think that it would be more than one day. They want to have him take contact, see how he wakes up the next day, and then, you know, maybe do it another. I don't know, but I just know that they've been conservative conservative with both these guys, OG Anunoby and Julius Randle.
He is Ian Begley. The Putback is his podcast, and of course you can catch him on SNY as well. Covers the Knicks so splendidly. All right, so we've kind of covered Randall. OG, he came back. It doesn't feel right. What is your kind of anticipation of where this is going to land when he comes back? Because I got to imagine he's going to come back at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so, too. I think that I don't know exactly where the swelling is at the moment, but that's what it's about. It's about his comfort level. It's about the surgeon signing off on where the swelling is and the surgeon's comfort level with things. And again, I've been told that piece of it, they've been very conservative and trying to make sure that everything is right before he is back on the court. It's a little bit strange to me because you had this surgery to try to get him to that place where you're not going to be on and off the court, on and off the court. That was the idea in having the surgery, so he can come all the way back. Did they rush back? I don't know. But this is not the outcome I think that they had envisioned when they decided to have the surgery. I think they thought he'd be all the way back and he'd be all right. Certainly not that he'd be missing eight consecutive games after coming back for two games. So, yeah, it's another one where I think they're being very cautious, very conservative. I think he's going to be back, but it's to me, that play that he got hurt on in the Portland game, it wasn't like a traditional basketball play, but it was a play that it's hard to avoid. He's kind of, he had his arm in there, excuse me, and it obviously didn't bend in a traditional way and hurt his elbow again, but that's not something that you can totally take away from if once you get back on the court. So I just wonder, how do you get to a place then where you can maybe avoid that contact and then be okay, or you can't avoid that contact and then are you out again once you get into that situation? So tricky situation. I think surprising that the surgery didn't totally fix it and we are where we are, but I think OG will be back at some point. I can tell you this though, Tom Thibodeau frustrated. When we talk to him about it, maybe he's just tired of my questions because I ask him about it every day, but he was frustrated not having these guys. Everybody who's healthy really wants these guys back, and that's where we sit right now.
I'll tell you what, we are not frustrated that we made this cold call to you. I mean, informative, fun, entertaining, it had everything. Ian, don't be a stranger. Let's do this again soon, please.
Hey, call me tomorrow.
All right, maybe we will.
We love you.
All right, bye, Ian.
All right, love you guys. Take care.
All right, that's the great Ian Begley.
And we got to go to break. This is the reason why I asked the question about the full contact thing. At this point, that ship has sailed, like the whole surgery thing. Like, right. If there was thoughts, hey, you know, we go crazy rehab, he has a surgery, 3 months, he could be back. That ship has sailed.
Right.
So the word, I mean.
That had to be done immediately.
I mean, like, how much do we care if how he wakes up from contact in practice? Like, he needs to play.
I think he's going to.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
On Kelly and Mark is the exact problem. They have the most adorable puppies on the screen. You see these puppies?
Yeah, well, this is your
puppy. No one can say no to these puppies.
I could.
And that, no, you couldn't.
I could.
RJ, do you see these puppies on the screen right now?
Adorable. I do.
No way you could bring children in to see these puppies and you leave wherever you go without a dog.
I don't see puppies right now.
There's no chance.
I see Mark's beautifully sculpted biceps.
No way.
It's all
and
I
this
see.
Is exactly what happened
too.
To me.
Those are there, too.
It's all I see.
Exactly.
I don't
we walked
see those
in.
Puppies.
Gonna get one dog, maybe. We walk out with two terrible dogs.
Hold on. No, that might be different because the audience is there and they're bringing the dogs in. You went to go look at the dogs.
Right.
It's your own fault.
Well, yeah.
What did you expect to have happen?
Well, not to get two.
Well, that's that's a different story.
Never once it was two, even a thought.
No.
Until Sherry's like, well, why don't we get two?
Well, that's Sherry's fault.
Well, I know.
And you do whatever she says.
Right.
And you should.
Because I'm humbled by her. I'm here just to try to please her. That's
right.
My whole goal on this earth.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have got two, though. Big mistake.
So dumb.
Big mistake.
So dumb. Yesterday, pouring rain, driving rain. Take them both on walks. Both go to the bathroom. Come back in the house. Hour later. Sherry, why is there urine all over the floor?
Oh, no.
One of them peed all over the floor.
Ugh.
Yeah.
and they were probably all wet and stinky.
Oh, it was awful. It's terrible. Dan in Jersey. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to the company of Jace. How are you guys today?
What's going on, pal?
So, I don't know. Like, I think that Ranger moment last night was one of my favorite moments as a fan, just watching them all drop the glove.
Right.
I'm upset that Igor and Kakinen didn't drop the mask.
No, you don't want Igor fighting.
The last thing you want to do is don't put want Igor fighting. I mean, he's the franchise.
Yeah, we're good.
I mean, can you imagine if something happened to Igor in that game last night?
No.
That's true. Rick, would you have dropped the mask in that situation?
Yeah.
You know, he attacked the guy that was three times his size.
Yeah, I probably would have fought. Tried to, at least.
That's funny. And then I want to say, with the Stephon Diggs trade happening yesterday, I think the Jets are the best team in the division on paper right now. I truly think that the drought's going to end. And I think the only thing that's going to hold them back is Robert Saleh, because I don't think he's an adequate head coach.
Well, if you don't think he's an adequate head coach, then how can you say you're the best team in the division? If you don't
think let me ask you a question. Do you think Jeff Ulbrich's a good coach?
Yes.
Okay, do you think that Aaron Rodgers is a, I don't want to call him a coach because he's not a coach.
Yeah, I think he's coach-like on the field.
In concert with Nathaniel Hackett?
Yes, I do.
All right.
All right, but if you...
So just don't screw it up.
How many teams do you look at and say, that head coach stinks and they wind up being really good football teams in the NFL? Right? Not other sports where there's not as much that goes into it. In the NFL, you're like, boy, that coach is no good. And they wind up being really good.
And they end up being really good?
Yeah.
Coaching of all the four major sports, coaching in the NFL is the most important.
By far.
Yeah.
So, again, it remains to be seen. And I don't know that Saleh is awful.
Okay, but I've also seen coaches that you thought weren't very good until they got a good quarterback.
I agree.
Like, Zach Taylor wasn't a good coach until he got Joe Burrow.
Totally agree.
So, maybe Robert Saleh is a good coach. You just don't know it.
Maybe he is. But that's not what he just said. He said, I think we break the schneid with a coach that's not very good. That's going to be very hard to do.
Well, again, but you're judging on what you've seen because, I mean, he's also, and he'll tell pretty much everybody or text you, what other coaches' records are with bad quarterbacks without their starting quarterbacks.
Raymond,
he's had the worst.
If you're ready, it would now be time for you to do three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
We had a line brawl, and my favorite part of the line brawl.
Oh, boy. DeAndre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
And there are not enough stripes to get a hold of everybody.
I knew Maloney was going to go rogue during that call.
Really undersold the fact that Keandre Miller just absolutely pummeled Marino. It was remarkable.
How did he undersell it?
No. We as a people have undersold it. Dave did a great job.
Oh, okay.
He picked up on it. I didn't even realize it was so bad. But yeah, Key just murdered the poor guy. Kind of feel bad.
Number two.
No, you're right. I really don't. Dave's big thank you.
But Dave, I love you, and you call often, and you're a good caller.
Tom. It's not Dave. It's Tom.
That's what I meant. Yep. I'm Dave.
I think Tom now changed his name to Dave on Twitter, you said, so
yeah.
Good job.
He's not Dave in Connecticut on Twitter yet.
Number one.
They're bathing the puppies.
I know.
Who could say no?
Big thank you to Chris Canty getting Rick all riled up. And
compatriot, our former co-host.
You can hear.
Of course you can hear.
Loud and clear.
John, can we get I need a partition in here. I can't do anything without his microphone picking it up.
Guy belches as if it's just
put
open season on the
box.
Mic. All right. Thank you, Ray. You're the best. It's Rule 76.
No excuse to play a champion. It's DPX Rothenberg.
Carpe Omnia.
On 98.7 ESPN. He's going to be back soonly after that.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.